The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
In just a matter of a few years, most people are going to be using 64-bit operating systems. And I guess in a few days, Microsoft's going to be rolling out officially Windows 64. And one of the people at MSN Search Champs happens to be someone who has not only used it, but has posted a few tips to his blog, Brandon Paddock, who I sat next to on a volunteer basis for a couple of days while we were watching MSN do their thing. And we got in a discussion yesterday as I was discussing the pros or trying to figure out why or when I'd want to upgrade to Windows 64. So, Brandon, do you think it's in the average user's path right now to go to 64 bits over, say, a 32-bit OS like Windows XP?
Well, I think the path for most users, like the home users and, you know, kind of everyday, like actually probably most of the people on this bus even, won't get there until around the Longhorn time frame. I think a lot of them will probably get a 64-bit processor before they get a 64-bit OS. Right now, for servers and kind of high-end workstation stuff, the 64-bit OS is very, very promising. They've done a very, very good job integrating the 32-bit and 64-bit applications. But there's just some quirks that, you know, home users aren't going to be too happy about. So I think they'll smooth that over more in Longhorn.
So what kind of applications have been optimized for 64-bit?
Some that I know of right now are database applications, SQL Server kind of stuff is being pushed in that direction quite a bit. I know media encoding is one area where they've had some progress. The Xvid codec, they have a 64-bit encoder that has shown very good performance. Not too sure about what else is there yet. A couple of games are built for it. I don't know quite what the performance difference is there, but it's nice to see them moving in that direction.
Now, in terms of the performance difference, is it going to matter what chip the 64-bit is happening on? So let's say Athlon versus Intel, is there going to be a major discrepancy?
Well, that's hard to say right now. There hasn't been a lot of testing on the Intel 64-bit chips because they don't have them on mainstream chips yet. Basically, the two instruction sets are compatible. They're exactly the same, but the implementation is a little bit different. And from what I've read, actually one of the Windows developers blogged that basically AMD's is a more thorough, complete implementation, and Intel's is kind of last-minute sort of finagled into the processor effort. So I don't know if that'll affect performance deltas on the Intel side. But I'm sure Intel is going to work very hard to get that working right.
Now, as far as the new version, the dual-core processors, is it Pentium D? Is that what they're going with?
That's one of them. There's the Pentium D, and there's also the Pentium Extreme Edition, and they've dropped the 4 from both names. That will be dual-core. I think they're calling them 800 and something model numbers. You know, they do that now instead of the clock frequencies. And I think they're at 3.2 gigahertz for the first release.
Is that a 64-bit processor, the dual cores?
Yeah. I know the Extreme Edition one is, and I'm 99% positive the regular Pentium D is also.
So you've already posted a few tips to your blog as far as running a 64-bit operating system is concerned. Any reason why you would need to post specific 64-bit tips?
Well, one good example is in Windows, it's very common for different programs to have shell integrations for different file formats. And the most common example is your zip program, zip files, compressed folders, and stuff like that. And when you install one of those programs like WinZip or WinRAR, which is a very common one, the extract right-click menu commands don't show up, so you don't get extract to and those kind of options. You don't get the open command window in this folder kind of options, so you have to go in and do those. You can do them, some of them, in the registry manually, and others that require a DLL handler will have to wait until the software developers actually implement that. But on my blog, I put up a zip file that people can download, and it has registry, like a reg file you can merge into your registry that will give you the open command window here and the extract with WinRAR and some others like that. And I gave some examples and showed people how to do that.
You're a developer by trade, correct?
Among other things.
So what's your primary platform? Am I correct to assume it's .NET?
Yes, .NET is my primary development platform. I code in C# pretty much exclusively.
What kind of applications?
My main work for the last year or so has been on an electronic medical records project, tying in SQL technology and using the .NET for the client, and leveraging Microsoft's InfoPath product.
So what do you think brought you to MSN Search Champs? How did you get on their radar?
I think I got on their radar because of my blog, where I'm kind of one of the loudmouths who will... I try to give a very honest, objective view of Microsoft. I like a lot of the things that they do, so I try to give them props when they do things that are good, and I tell them when they do things I don't like. And I've gotten the attention of some others. Robert Scoble has linked to me a couple times. I think he may have been one that suggested me. But they didn't tell me exactly how I got invited. I just got the email one day through my blog site, in fact. They didn't actually send it to my email address.
Really?
Yeah.
So they posted it as a comment?
No, there's a link on my blog that's it's like feedback or something, or email me or something, but it's just a web form, and then that gets sent to my email address.
What's your specific blog URL?
My blog is on geekswithblogs.net/bpaddock. You can get it on searching Google or MSN for my name, Brandon Paddock.
Brandon?
Yep.
So geekswithblogs.net, is that something that anybody can join?
Well, it's run by a guy named Jeff Julian, who has his blog on there. And pretty much if you want to get a blog on there and you have, and you're a geek and have a kind of technical stuff to write about, just go to geekswithblogs.net, and he has his email address on there and says to email him if you would like one.
How many people are currently on? Do you know? Do you have an estimate?
From what I remember seeing on the main feed, there's probably 50 or so. I'm not sure exactly how many are active and not. Might be more than that, a little bit. That's about what it is.
Now, since we're under NDA, we can't talk about specifics, but do you have any general feelings as to your experience with Search Champs this time?
General feelings. Let's see. I really enjoyed the experience. I thought it was very, very good to see them engaging with the community and quite a variety of different people with different backgrounds and from different places. I think the search space is a very interesting space. I think right now it's clearly dominated by Google, and that's, I'll say, who I still use for pretty much everything except the desktop search area. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do and how they use our feedback to develop their products.
But you're also a Maxthon user, just like myself.
Yes, I use Maxthon, or Maxthon, however you want to say that name. I've been using that for probably about a year now, actually. About when they changed the name is when I started using it. And it's a great product. I really like it. I will look at IE7 when it comes out. I tried Firefox. I try, you know, pretty much everything, but I'm very happy with Maxthon. So.
Now, as far as what you would like to see any search engine implement, do you think there's still room for improvement?
I think there's definitely room for improvement. One area that I personally think is very important is the search clustering. On the MSN Search blog, they actually linked to a project that MS Research in Asia did on search clustering, which I think is really, really neat. Basically, it's, you know, one of the common examples they gave somewhere was searching for the word Saturn. You know, you get some results that are with the Saturn car company, some that are with the Sega Saturn video games, and some that are with clearly the planet astronomy. And so basically search clustering is where you do a search for Saturn, and it would give you options to filter by, you know, I'm looking for the car company, or I'm looking for video games, or I'm looking for astronomy, and you can exclude all the results that you clearly don't want. And I think that's a big part of the future of search technology.
As far as 64-bit processing goes, do you think there's any marriage between the speed at which things can be searched or processed on the desktop when it comes to 64-bit currently versus, in the future, as opposed to currently where it's a 32-bit?
You want to know if a 64-bit platform is going to make desktop-level search noticeably better. That's kind of hard to say. I don't really think that alone is going to make a huge difference. In fact, what I've seen, the biggest performance difference comes from having a fast hard drive. I'm sure there's some improvement there with the different memory management, having better virtual memory mapping, which is part of the 64-bit OS, that could affect it a bit. But I don't think that alone is going to, really change the desktop search area. 64-bit for hosting large server-based search technologies will obviously be a very important area with large databases, large amounts of memory, things like that.
So it's not going to be so much of an improvement on the desktop level at this point?
No, not really. 64-bit on the desktop isn't going to be a revolutionary change, really, in any specific area. It's just kind of a general evolution, and it's good that they're working on it before it's really necessary, because you want that transition to be gradual and smooth and really ironed out. You don't want to one day say, we really need this right now, and we're going to have to give up some of our usability, some things we like, because we have to transition to 64-bit right away. So I think it's going pretty well.
You had said that you use Google for searching, except for searching your desktop or searching the files on your computer. What utility do you currently use for that?
I use the MSN desktop beta. I've tried a few different tools, and I don't think any of them have it perfect yet. I think they all have good ideas, and they all have their strengths. And for me, my use is the MSN one stood out a bit. It worked better. But I saw a lot of places they could improve that product, and I let them know that.
Not only at Search Champs, but on your public blog as well.
Oh, yes. I frequently address Microsoft and the MSN team on my blog with different ideas and places I think they should take those products.
What's your favorite feature of the desktop search, at least in beta form?
Well, one of the most noticeable ones for me was how all the results are Explorer shell objects. So you can do things like, if I search for a music album and one of the results is a folder with music in it, I can just right-click on that result and click NQ in Winamp or play in Media Player. Use all the normal shell functions that I'd use in Explorer. I can drag and drop, all that great stuff. And that works really well. It's a very integrated experience that I enjoy.
How do you find its network performance?
Network performance. You mean for searching, like network shares? It's good. It works well for that. There's no clear separation between results that are local and results that are on the network, and that, I think, is a problem, and I'd like to see them work on that. And there's no... The search program doesn't really check or give you an indication whether a network share is online or offline. I haven't done any thorough testing, so I don't know how good it is about keeping the index up to date on network shares. Because I know with local file shares, it gets an update from the file system telling it there's been a change to this file, so it can go and see what happened. On network share, I don't know how well that works. It may be fine, or that could be an issue. So I haven't really looked at that.
You had referred to, in terms of speed of this stuff in relation to 64-bit processing, although it wasn't related necessarily, most of the speed could be attributed to the speed of your hard drive. What do you think is the optimal hard drive at this point? Is it still SCSI, or is Super ATA or SATA really getting that much closer?
Well, I can tell you what I use at home. I have my main drive setup is... two Western Digital Raptors. They're 10,000 RPM serial ATA drives, and they're in a RAID setup. And when I did my initial index with the MSN indexer, even also indexing probably about 400 gigabytes of media on other drives and indexing about 30,000 Outlook items from my RSS feeds and email, it took it about 5 or 6 minutes. On my laptop, on the other hand, doing the same amount of Outlook stuff and basically no actual file content, it took well over an hour, actually more an hour and a half at least. There's quite a wide range of performance figures you can see, and the hard drive seems to me to be the largest factor. I'm sure having more memory will help But that's, it's a very big spectrum there of performance differences.
So in doing Search Champs this time, you're it sounds like you'd be likely to come back if you were invited.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely come back. Some of that will depend on how well they maintain communication with us and if they listen to what we suggested. But yeah, at this point, I think I would definitely come back, and I'd like to see them continue with projects like this.
Would you come back to Seattle independent of MSN Search Champs?
Oh boy, yes. I very much like the area. I'm not sure if I'm being fooled because there hasn't been any rain since we've been here, and even right now there's not a cloud in the sky.
That's painted on.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that might be an illusion. You know, maybe someone strapped some virtual reality goggles on my head when I got at the airport. You know, they're trying to trick me. But I really like the area a lot, and
Fair enough. Well, it seems like we're getting closer to our destination, although we are apparently stuck in traffic, which Seattle, by the way, is kind of famous for at certain times of the day. So hopefully traffic wouldn't bother you if you were to come back.
Traffic? Yeah, this actually is a lot more traffic than I'm used to in my area. But, you know, that happens everywhere. So luckily I like driving, although I don't like sitting like this.
Well, that's what podcasting is there for.
Yes, definitely. And I have a pretty good podcasting setup in my car, so it's that helps.
Now you can hear yourself, you know, as you're driving, and you laugh. All right, well, thanks again for your time.
Oh, thank you for this opportunity. Never been on a podcast before, so.
There's a first time for everything.
The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.